Hey, thanks so much for joining us for another episode of the Tree of Life Church podcast. It's our prayer that these messages help connect you to the life, love, and power of Jesus.
Amen. Hey, have you ever wondered what your calling is in life? I mean, that's kind of like a buzzword for people, especially if you come from a Christian circle. What's your calling? What are you called to? There are some people that they use that as their excuse not to do things, right? You ask them to do something that's kind of difficult or not so fun, they're like, I just don't feel called to do that, you know? I don't feel called either, but someone has to do it, right? But have you ever really wondered what is your calling? I was listening to this podcast. I was mowing my lawn the other day, which is not my calling, by the way, but I do have to do it. And I was listening to this podcast. It was this Christian leader, and he was interviewing an atheist leader. And it wasn't one of those things where they just like argue with each other about whether God's real. Can I just tell you that typically doesn't really work out to do much for anybody? Typically, everybody just gets mad at each other, and that's about it. What they did was so powerful. This Christian leader began asking this man what his thoughts were on things like business and leadership and politics. And he even asked him, what do you think the church could do better? Really, really interesting conversation. This is a very successful man. He's a professor. He's a businessman. In fact, his net worth, if you look it up, is $100 million. But here's what he said midway or towards the end of the conversation that really caught my attention. He said, I guess at this season of life, I'm just looking for my purpose. Here's a guy who has a healthy family. Here's a guy who's a professor. He's respected in academic circles. In business circles, he's an investor. He's an author. He's doing all these things. He has more money than you could ever imagine what to do with it, right? But he's saying, at this stage of my life, I guess I'm just trying to figure out what my purpose is. You know, it kind of broke my heart, and I want you to hear this today, and I'm going to say this really gently and with all the grace that I have. But if you're here today and you're wondering if there even is a God, or if you're a young person in this place today, I want you to hear this really clearly. If there is no higher power, there can be no higher purpose. Think about it for a second. If it's just nature, if it's just a random accident that we're here, then what does it really matter, the choices that we make? But if there is a higher power, then there must be a higher purpose. And if there is a creator, then he must have created you on purpose for a calling. And so today I want to talk to you from this topic of called in him. And I made a joke about people saying, I don't feel called to that and all this stuff. But in all reality, our calling is so misunderstood. I think there's a lot of lies that people believe about their calling, and it prevents them from actually stepping into what God has asked them to do in life. The first lie that I see all the time is this. People will say, I'm too fill in the blank. In fact, you see this in scripture in Jeremiah chapter 1. Scholars tell us that Jeremiah was about, he was in his teens, potentially late teens from what I understand, and God comes to him. And God says, Jeremiah, you are going to be a prophet to the nations. And you know what Jeremiah's response is? His response is immediately, I'm too young. I wonder how many of us are responding to God with our own I'm too fill in the blank statement. I'm too uneducated. I'm too educated. I'm too poor. I'm too wealthy. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too broken, I'm too new to Christianity to do that. I wonder what your statement is today that you would tell God, I'm too fill in the blank. But here's what I love about God. God can be so direct and so kind at the same time. And God says this, he tells Jeremiah very, very clearly, he says, don't say I'm too young. And he says, I've called you and I will be with you. I don't know what your fill in the blank is. I'm to this or I'm to that. But I just want to say, God would say to you today, don't say that. Because I've called you and I'll be with you. The second lie I think people believe that's kind of interesting and kind of funny to me is they believe that you can only be called if you're like a pastor or a minister or a missionary or something like that. Some people don't want to be called because they're afraid that God's gonna make them one of us. Like, oh God, please don't. But I just wanna tell you, if you read your Bible, you'll know that is so wrong. That is so wrong. What was Peter doing when Jesus called him? He was a fisherman. Presumably he was a small business owner. What was Deborah doing when she led the nation of Israel into battle because nobody else would do it? When she was a spiritual counselor for the entire nation of God's people, she described herself as this: I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Deborah's like, I'm a stay-at-home mom, but if someone's gonna do it, it's gonna be me. It's gotta get done. Lydia, if you look in the book of Acts, a leader in the local church. From everything we know about Lydia, she was a female entrepreneur. She owned a business, ran a business, and was successful at it. Moses and King David, what were they doing when God called them? They were just doing their job. They were out there being shepherds, taking care of the sheep. You know, the really interesting one that sticks out to me is Jesus. Because what did Jesus do for the majority of his adult life? He was a carpenter. Jesus didn't spend the majority of his adult life preaching to people. No. He started that when he was 30, and he did it for 3 years. The majority of his adult life, he was a carpenter. If you think that you can't be called unless you're a pastor, you need to reread your Bible. Because God has called you to do something important. And the other lie that people believe is that it has to be this emotional mountaintop experience. Moses has the burning bush moment, right? David comes and they pour anointing oil on him. They say, you're gonna be the king and all these things. But can I just tell you that it's not always like that? Maybe I just set you free from that. Maybe you will have a burning bush experience. Maybe if you think you saw a burning bush, you're on something and we need to talk about that. You know what I'm saying? But maybe you'll have this mountaintop experience. I've had those moments, like where people prayed for me and it helped steer and shape the course of my life. But you know, one guy that prayed for me, I was 9 years old. He was a lawyer and he ran a prayer meeting at church. He wasn't a pastor, he was a lawyer. And God used him to pray over me. I don't know what it is for you. You think you have to have this mountaintop experience. You have to go to a conference and cry and someone's gonna pray over you and you're gonna fast for 3 days. I don't know, but for me, most times in my life, you know what it's looked like for me to find my calling? It's looked like someone just said, hey, the worship pastor stepped down. Could you fill in for a couple months? That's usually what it's looked like for me. The youth pastor had to move on to another place. Could you just jump in for a couple months and preach and just kind of try to hold the thing together? That's really what calling has looked like for me for most of my life. That if you just keep walking in the direction that God has for you, he'll ordain your steps. Eugene Peterson, the man who wrote the Message paraphrase of the Bible, he would say this statement, but he actually stole it from an atheist philosopher, Nietzsche. And Nietzsche said this, he said, a long obedience in the same direction. And that's how Eugene Peterson would describe our life with Jesus. It's a long obedience in the same direction. Most times your calling is really just you seek God and you keep walking and somehow you step into it as he ordains your steps. So I don't know if you think I'm too young or I'm too old, but God would say stop saying that and just look at what I'm saying about you and stop looking at yourself and start looking at who is in you and walking with you. I don't know if you would say, well, only pastors are called, but I just want to tell you today, the majority of people in Scripture were not ministers. They were just doing their job. And I don't know if you would say today, well, I've never had the emotional mountaintop experience. I'm not a big crier either, but God got me to where I'm supposed to be. I believe that every single person under the sound of my voice is called by God. You are called in Him, in Christ. But there's three ways that you're called, and I want to talk about those three ways today. If you get nothing else from this sermon, if you remember nothing, if you check out, if you look at Instagram the entire time after I say this, whatever it is, I want you to get this phrase. It's, I'm called out, I'm called in, I'm called to. Can you say that after me? Say, I'm called out, I'm called in, I'm called to. One more time, we'll say it together. One, two, three. I'm called out. I'm called in. I'm called to. That's what I want you to know today. We're gonna break down each one of those, but they really come from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now, I want you to remember, Peter is called by Jesus when he's just doing his job. And you know, just a sidebar, when everything went wrong in Peter's life, when he denied Jesus and he didn't know what else to do, he just went back to doing his job. And Jesus found him there and led him into the next portion of his calling. He just kept trying to walk the road he was supposed to walk, and God found him every time. But later in his life, Peter writes this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." You're like a pet rock. Isn't that beautiful? I'm just kidding. "That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." Did you catch that first thing? I'm called out. It says that he called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says this, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son." He has pulled you out of darkness and put you into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:8 says this, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Here's the thing about the scripture. Some people say, "Well, I'm a pretty good person." The Bible makes it very clear. It's not just you were in darkness. They take it a step further and say, you were darkness. That nobody can do it without Jesus. But now you are light in the Lord. That's why Jesus said, you are a city on a hill, a light of the light of the world. That the light of God is in you now because he pulled you out of darkness. I wonder if you can remember the darkness that God pulled you out of. I wonder if you can remember the things that he delivered you from. I wonder if maybe we've lost a little grace for other people's darkness because we forgot what God did for us. And you may be in this room, you may be like, "Well, I was never addicted, or I was never this, or I was never that." It doesn't matter. You were part of the world system, and the world system is hopeless and dark. And without Christ, that's where you would be today. You know, you may have walked into this place and you may say, "I'm in a dark place now. I know he's pulled me out, but I'm in the middle of difficulty." Can I just tell you, King David in the Psalms was so brutally honest. If you read it and you really pay attention, you would even say that he was probably struggling with depression at certain times when he was writing these songs to God. And in Psalm 40, he's struggling because there are enemies who are coming against him. And he's having a difficult time, but here's how he chooses to start the song. Psalm 40, verse 2, it says, "He lifted me out from the ditch, pulled me from deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip." God called you out. And I don't know what you're facing today, but I hope that as you leave today, maybe you just remember, "I know it's difficult right now, but I'm gonna look back and say, God called me out of that in my past, and he'll bring me out of this today. I'm still called out." I wonder if we could take a moment right now and just think about what God called us out of and give him praise for it in this place. If you could thank God for the marriage that was broken, but he restored it. I wonder if you can remember what God called you out of. That he called you out of a place of your parents were abusive and you were going to repeat the cycle until Christ. What did he call you out of? What did he call you out of? Was it addiction? Was it loneliness? Was it a competitive drive to keep climbing the ladder at work and you couldn't stop and it was almost obsessive? What did he call you out of? But some people, they get stuck in the fact that they're called out. Some people, they feel like, "I know I'm called out, but I keep going back to that thing." Most times that's rooted in guilt and shame that we can't let go of what God has already let go of and forgiven. Or maybe you're in this place where you're like, "I know I'm called out, but I feel like I got here by the skin of my teeth," and God's just like, "Hey, I got you out of it, but I'm just gonna leave you right there because you barely made it." But that leads us to point number two. I'm not just called out. I'm called in. I'm called in to something. If we go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness, and here we go, and into his wonderful light. You are not just called out of darkness. You are called into God's light. And maybe this will set somebody free today, but when God called you out of darkness, I want you to know he's shown the light into your life. He saw everything bad that you've ever done, and he was not ashamed to pull you out of that place. So quit trying to hide it all, because God already saw it, and he said, you know what? I still want you in the light with me. God has pulled you into this place, not just of being in the light, but if you go back in that scripture, it explains even more for you. It says that he's called you into a chosen generation. Some other translations say this, a chosen race. And I love that thought, because God's heart from the beginning of time has always been to bring people together. In Acts chapter 2, 3,000 men were baptized that day because God brought people from all over the known world at the time, spoke in their language through the people of the local church there. And then he sent them into the world to go tell others about Jesus. And I just want to tell you, this is a church that is racially diverse on purpose. Pastor Don says this all the time. We don't just celebrate diversity, we champion diversity. But here's the beauty of what God is doing. God is saying, I love your ethnicity. I love your racial background. But here's what I'm really doing. I'm making us all into one family. And in heaven, there will be no division along those lines. We celebrate all of the amazing nuance of culture and ethnicity, but he's making us into one family. And then it says a royal priesthood. And I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but maybe God is also saying it doesn't matter what denominational background you came from. That's why I love things like the National Day of Prayer, because you know what? We'll stand up there with people from different denominations, but we will speak the name of Jesus. And then it says a holy nation. And I just want to say, I love this country. I'm so grateful to have been born in America. I'm so grateful for our armed forces and the people that have protected and preserved our liberty. But I am first and foremost a citizen of his nation, the kingdom of heaven. And I think we need to hear that in an election year. That it doesn't matter what people vote for, if we're part of the kingdom of God, we're a family together. He's called you into a family. Isaiah 43, 1 says that he called you by name. You know, God didn't just look at you and say, hey, you, come here. He called you by name. And the scripture says that he's giving you a new name in heaven. Not the shame of your past, not the things that you used to do, that people labeled you with when you were growing up. No, he's giving you a new name. God has not just called you out, he's called you in. And that's where the question comes. Because if God's called me out, that's really great. I'm thankful to be out of sin. If God's called me in, I'm so glad to be part of God's family. But if God's called me out and God's called me in, then why am I still here? Like, I think of it like those little tubes at the bank. Like, why doesn't he just suck me straight into heaven? You know what I'm saying? Just get in and here we go. But I think that maybe it's because God has called us to something. 1 Peter 2, 9, again, we're going to see what God has called us to. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You'll never read that scripture again without thinking of a pet rock. I just want to say it. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. That you may declare his praise. He left you on this planet so that you could declare his praise, that other people might hear what he's done for you and spend eternity with him as well. That if God left you on this planet after you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it must be so that you can bring other people with you. And here's the other piece that I want to talk to you about just briefly. It says that you're a royal priesthood. I don't know how you grew up, but for just a minute, I want you to just put everything to the side that you think you know about priests. Some of you grew up in a denomination that had priests. Some of you, everything you know about priests came from horror movies, you know? I don't know what you think about priests, but here's what an Old Testament priest's job was. Their job was to minister to God or to worship God and to connect people to God. God says that you are a priest. You might say, well, I'm not called to be a pastor. That's cool. I'm a pastor, but you are a priest. Ephesians 4 says that a pastor's job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. You are a priest, and your job is to worship God and connect other people to him. Let me put this in super basic terms for you. Romans 12:1 says that everything that we do in life is an act of worship to God. So when you go to your office tomorrow and you do a great job and you have great sales figures, or you turn in a great report, or you just show up on time, because the bar's kind of low in today's culture. Like, if you just show up, you're doing great. We're proud of you. Whatever it is, if you do that, you are showing worship to God, according to Romans 12:1, but then you're pointing people to God. Do you see that? You sit in your office and you've done a good job, or you're at the job site and you've been working hard when other people are kind of slacking off and having a bad attitude, and people begin to talk to you and you get to share Christ with them. You're being a priest. That there is so much more to life than just showing up to church on Sunday and hearing a message and leaving and then punching in and punching out at work and that's it. No, God left you here to be a priest. You are called to something. And I just want to challenge you for a moment that it might even go deeper than that. That maybe, like you heard in that testimony about Growth Track, that there's more for you to do, not just at work, but in the local church. I was talking to my buddy Jason on the way in. And I was telling him, I said, you know, Jason, when you're on a job site, nobody would ever know that on the weekends you go and preach to kids at church and lead them to Jesus. But that's what he does. Some of you, your kids accepted Christ because Jason got off a job site on Saturday, 12-hour day, showed up Sunday, and preached the gospel to your kids. That's amazing. I was talking to my friend Doug in the previous service about how he's in finance and he does what he does in finance, but then he shows up on Sunday and he works in early childhood ministry and he's like the baby whisperer. Like, something about him, he just takes care of kids. And my kid used to like only go into class if Doug was there. Some of you, you had an hour of peace last week because Doug was there. That's the only reason you got an hour of peace in church, because Doug was there. What if God's called you to do more? What if God has called you to be more than just someone who shows up or someone who just does your job and that's it? What if he has called you to be a priest? And everybody wants to know what their specific calling is. Can I just give you a really easy couple of steps for that today? This is not in your notes, but I want you to write it down. If you have your phone, you can just pull it out and put it in your phone. If you've been wanting to check a score or wanting to check Instagram, you didn't want to look like you were bad, just lie right now. Pretend like you're taking notes, but just check Instagram. It's fine. I worked in youth ministry. I watched it happen a lot. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I want you to write this down. Number one, you got to stay active. Years ago, a mentor of mine said, Proverbs 16:9 says that a man plans his way, but the Lord orders his steps. And he said, here's the deal. God can't order your steps if you're not walking. If you're not doing something, God can't help you. God came to Peter when he was doing something and called him into the ministry. God comes to Moses when he's working and doing something and calls him into the ministry. You've got to be doing something. Be active. Listen, if you don't know where to serve, just show up to Growth Track and go, hey, where can I serve? Don't pick something that you hate. That's not smart, right? Like, pick something that you would actually probably enjoy doing, but it doesn't have to be anything fancy. You just go, okay, what could I do? And just try that. Show up and just do something, and God will direct your steps little by little. You got to stay active. You got to just do something, start somewhere. Say, I can do one Sunday a month, one service, but I can do that. And I can shake hands in the lobby because I'm nice. I'm a salesman. It's like my job to be nice. And I would love to do that. Can I help with that once a month, Pastor Rob? And just do something. But stay active. The second thing is this: you got to stay open and obedient. And I want to kind of set some people free today. A lot of people are worried about like, well, what if my calling's not what I hoped it would be? I thought it would be really fun and cool, but it's not. Can I just tell you, if you're in the will of God, you are going to have a good life. It may not be perfect, but I'd so much rather go through life with the will of God, in the will of God, I should say. If I could just be honest with you, if you asked me 5, 6, 7 years ago where I thought I would be and what I thought I would be doing, this is not it. But God knew where I needed to be, and I kept moving. The scripture says that God will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't just mean that God will give you everything you want. I think it also means that he'll shape and change and mold the desires of your heart to make them what his desires are. You got to stay open and stay obedient. Just a little note about calling. When you think about it, God calls you to different seasons of life. Some of you are calling, God might be even asking you to change seasons. And my dad was a career Marine, 20 years. He was at his last enlistment, so the 16th year. He's on the flight deck, and he has his hand in the air to do his re-enlistment. And as he has his hand in the air, he hears very clearly from the Lord, this is your last one. My dad was like, I'm the guy that's going to go 30, right? My dad was going to be the crusty old Marine, you know? And he hears the Lord say, this is your last one. His exact words in his head were, yeah, right. But God called him to change seasons. Let me tell you something. If my dad had re-enlisted, I wouldn't have landed here at 11 years old. I wouldn't have discovered my calling to lead worship, and I wouldn't be preaching to you right now. You've got to be open and obedient to the change that God might be doing in you. So you've got to stay active, you've got to stay open and obedient, but then you've got to stay connected. You've got to stay connected to God. If you're not reading your Bible, you're going to get some crazy ideas about what your calling is. You're going to think like, I am going to be the next TikTok famous person, and I'm going to blah, blah, blah. That's not it. God is going to keep you on the right path if you will stay locked into his word and his spirit. But then you've got to stay connected to community, to the local church. You got to have some people that will say, I know you think that's it, but I'm just encouraging you, like maybe God has something else for you. You're great at that, but maybe it's not God's best for you. And maybe the part of staying connected to the local church is, again, you just say, I'm going to serve somewhere, right? I work at a daycare, so I know that I could help take care of kids one Sunday a month. I'm just going to step in and see what God could do. But you've got to say, I'm willing to be open and obedient. I'm willing to be active in this. I'm willing to stay connected. And God, whatever it is that you're leading me to, that's what I want to be. I'll never forget, we had a friend named Charlie. Charlie owned a used car lot. And Charlie's ministry was so much bigger than selling cars. Because there were times when a single mom would walk in and Charlie would take a big loss on a car because he knew that that lady needed it. Maybe God has more for you than what you think he does. But you gotta know, you're not just called out and you're not just called in, you're called to. And maybe we could even rephrase it like this and say, I'm called out into the world. You are not just called to come to church. As beautiful as that is, I hope you do come to church, but God has called you to go out into the world. Jesus said, go into every nation making disciples. That God has so much more for you. You are called in him. Can we say it again together? Repeat after me. Say, I'm called out. I'm called in. I'm called to. I'm called out. I'm called in. I'm called to. Now, one more time, like you believe it. Say, I'm called out. I'm called in. I'm called to. And you might be here today. Amen. You might be here today and you might be thinking, well, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know what it is. Maybe you feel guilty. Maybe you feel ashamed. You feel like you're not worthy. I'm too, fill in the blank. Maybe it's I'm too busy. Like, I get it, that's cool, but I've got mouths to feed. I got kids that keep growing out of their clothes and it's frustrating me, you know? We just bought those. Pull them down, just see what you can do. That's Dylan's family, is that right? Okay, yeah, they're really tall. Whatever it is, you might say, well, I don't know if I can do this calling thing. I just want to stop for a second I want to say, you can do that. You don't have to obey the call of God on your life. You don't have to do anything. God will not force you to do anything. But here's what I want you to think about for just a second. I want you to think about, in the second grade, my mom is a little kid growing up completely impoverished in Seguin, in an abusive environment. And there was a church, an African-American Baptist church that had a bus ministry. And they drove her somewhere and she gets saved in the midst of a mess. Someone said yes to their call. And that's part of why I'm here today. My wife in the fourth grade, she goes to church with a friend who just invited her for a sleepover. And there's a Sunday school teacher. And that Sunday school teacher leads my wife to Christ. My wife didn't grow up going to church, but because of that, the entire trajectory of her life is changed. And then she goes to ministry school and is able to minister literally across the globe. She's backpacked. She's not in here right now. She's told me once, oh, we backpacked into the mountains in Costa Rica one time, and we did a puppet show for people who didn't speak English or Spanish. They spoke a language where you had to like make click sounds, and that's what we were doing. I'm like, what in the world? But all because there was a Sunday school teacher that said yes. All because there was some family, I don't even know who they are, that said, oh yeah, we'll be a safe haven for a kid and we'll bring him to church with us. So you could say no to your call. That's fine. You can do that if you want. But here's what I want you to think about. On the other side of your call, there's a person and a soul. And you'll never know what God could do through you, but you'll never know what God could do through them if you don't say yes. Who was the person that answered the call in your life? Who was the coach that would drop in little nuggets of scripture when they would do team huddles and things like that, and it just drew you in a little bit? Who was the boss that gave you a second chance? Who was the person that responded to the call? See, you can say no if you want, but there's an eternity on the other side of your decision, and it's not yours, it's theirs. And if God left you here, he left you here for a purpose. Otherwise, you'd have got sucked up in that bank tube and you'd be in the sky and we'd all say bye. I want you to think for a moment today. Who's on the other side of your calling? And then one more thing. This is going to sound kind of harsh, but when you get to heaven, I want you to think about how you answer God. Because God will ask us. The Bible says that he'll ask us to give an account for every idle word that we've spoken. I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of stuff to give an account for. And God's gracious and loving, and he's going to embrace me, and he's going to welcome me into heaven. But there are still times where we have to answer. And I don't want to get to heaven and be like, well, you know, honestly, I was too busy. Honestly, I didn't have time for it. Honestly, I didn't like it. It wasn't very fun. It wasn't my thing. I want to get to heaven and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know what your calling is. It's probably not my calling. And that's really good. We need different types of people. But here's what I know. This world needs the call of God on your life. This world needs you to run the best insurance agency that you can run. This world needs you to be the best mechanic that you can be and point other people to Jesus at the same time. This world needs you to show up after a day on the job site and go in there and preach the gospel to a 10-year-old so that they could receive Jesus. And maybe they could be me someday, because I was in that kid's church at one time too. This world needs your calling. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, my prayer today is that people would never see a microphone. I'm so tired of the celebrity ideology that whoever's on stage matters the most. Because it wasn't somebody on a stage that prayed for me at 9 years old and pushed me into my calling. It was a lawyer. Father, I am so tired of the ideology that says that we have to be important, we have to be seen, we have to be known. You rejected that. Jesus, when you were a carpenter for the majority of your adult life and then you stepped into your ministry, and I can guarantee you that Jesus' calling probably wasn't fun. Jesus at 30 years old probably didn't look up at God and say, I'd like to be crucified 3 years from now. That'd be wonderful. But he knew that eternity was on the other side of that calling. And I'm here to tell you today that someone's eternity is on the other side of your calling, but you've got to say yes and step into it. You got to stay active. Just do something. Oh, you can't do everything, but you can do something. You got to stay open and obedient. You've got to walk into that thing and say, whatever it is, God, I'll do it. And you've got to say with all your heart, God, I'm staying connected to you and connected to people. God, we are not just here to enjoy church. No, we've been called out and we've been called in, but we've been called to. So light a fire in us, God, to say, I'm going to go do something this week. The person that everybody hates at the office, I'm going to be the one that invites them to lunch. It just shows the love of God to them. The difficult student in my classroom, I'm going to be the person that speaks encouragement over them because they're probably not hearing it at home. Step in to your calling. God, I think that each one of us know the next right thing to do. You may not know the end picture. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what I'm going to be doing 25 years from now. There's nothing wrong with that. But I do know my next right step. And Father, I just pray for each one of us in this moment of just almost silence. Orlando, you can keep playing, but in this moment of silence where nobody's moving, nobody's talking, just for a moment, and I don't know, maybe you put your hands out like you're receiving something, but I just want to ask you to personally ask God for what your next right step is to step into your calling. Just you and God. Last thing I want you to hear today, I think that this is what God would want you to hear, is I think that God would say to you, I'm proud of you. You may not be where you hoped you would be, but I'm gonna tell you right now, you're right where he wants you to be in this moment. All you have to do is stay active and stay obedient and stay open and stay connected. And God's saying, I'm proud of you. Oh, nobody knows the journey that you had. Nobody knows the difficulty that you had to get to this place. And other people might look at it and discount it and say, well, you got a long way to go. But God would say, no, 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 you come a long way and I'm so proud of you. I just want to speak encouragement over you today and tell you that God knows, God cares, God sees. You're not fighting alone. But he's called you to something greater. I'm called out, I'm called in, I'm called to.
Thanks again for joining us this week. We pray that this message encouraged and inspired you. If you want to find out how you can be a part of Tree of Life, just go to our website, treeoflifechurch.org. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend.